Good evening. We're glad you're here. It's such a wonderful thing to see all these young people up here, and we've got guests with us, and we're happy that young people have invited their friends, and we hope they'll do that next Sunday evening. Even though we have a holiday weekend, a lot of them assured me they're going to be here for Youth Focus, so we're encouraged by that, and we're looking forward to that, and look forward to a number of young people that will come up and participate with that. We appreciate you being with us tonight, especially those of you that are visiting and have chosen to be with us tonight. We're happy about that. I'd like for you to take your Bibles out and turn to Genesis chapter 14, if you would. There's an interesting event that occurs in Genesis chapter 14. If you have the New King James Version, you'll see at the title of chapter 14, Lot's Captivity and Rescue. Well, there's a lot of civil war going on, and we pick up with verse 8, after it mentions all of those who are in battle against particularly the king of Sodom and the king of Gomorrah, the king of Admah, the king of Zebulun, and the king of Bela, that is Zoar, went out and joined together in battle in the valley of Sinim against Chedorlaomer. There we go. Wasn't that a mouthful word? I'm glad that wasn't a school word on a spelling test. King of Elam, titled King of Nations, Eriphel, King of Shinar, and Arioch, King of Elazar, four kings against five. Then we read, now the valley of Siddim was full of asphalt pits, and the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled. Some fell there, and the remainder fled to the mountains. Then look at verse 11. Then they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their provisions and went their way. They also took Lot, Abraham's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, his goods, and departed. Now, when you read this big old word in red, the taken, probably that's how some of you felt when you bought this, that, or the other, right? I think I've just been taken. But we're talking about here, in this case, literally, Lot was taken, and they came down, they launched an attack, and there's been a lot of warring going on, and therefore, they're looking for spoils, and that's exactly what they take. There was a movie out. I have not seen the movie personally, but I read about it, and I want to share a little bit about it. Some of you might remember it, called Taken. And what caught my attention is, if you can see it, I'm going to try to blow this up here so you can read it. But it says, protect what's yours. Well, sometimes that's very difficult to do. Saw a news story about this man who had the front end of his truck stolen in his business. Can you believe that? He said it'd take me days to take it off, and they did it in 4 hours. Took literally the front end off of his truck, his service truck. Some of you may have caught that news story. But sometimes it's hard to protect what's yours. And what we're going to read about here is the case where Abraham is going to go to the rescue of Lot. One other thing that caught my attention in the narrative about this movie was that a retired CIA agent travels across Europe and relies on his old skills to save his estranged daughter who has been kidnapped while on a trip to Paris. Now, I can't imagine what it would be like to have a child kidnapped. Occasionally, you see that on the news with people appealing for their children who have been kidnapped. What an emotional roller coaster that would be to experience such an event. Of course, this is a movie. But in this case, Lot was actually taken. Now, how many of you remember this scene? You're telling your age, you know that. Yeah, the Lone Ranger. And here we read the narrative. Those cattle thieves have taken the herd this way, King Osabi, Tonto says. And that was often the case. They were there for the rescue. And then Tonto points out, there they are, King Osabi. Let's get them quick before they get away. And then he says, Roy, they have taken Dale with them and plan to hurt her. This is from the movie the story of Roy Rogers. Remember that? Lots of times in watching The Lone Ranger and Roy Rogers, you still see the story about where someone's been kidnapped or taken or goods have been taken, and there they go to the rescue. I still haven't figured quite out how they got a Jeep in the Roy Rogers show. while the rest of everybody else was riding horses. But that's okay. They can do it however they wanted to do it. But we understand that concept of being taken. Of course, when it came to Dell Evans, they're in a hurry. Okay, boys, hurry. There's no time to waste before they might hurt her. And of course, we understand that. It's similar to what we read about here because Lot has been taken by people that are really not that concerned, obviously, about the care of Lot. And so he has been taken. And that's the story of Genesis 14, 8 through 20. And as you look at it, what you clearly have, number one, is that the enemies took a servant of God. Even though Lot's in Sodom, we still read about him being on God's side. And it says in verse 11, they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their possessions and went their way. They also took Lot. And then it defines him, Abraham's brother's son who dwelt in Sodom and then his goods and departed. 2 Peter 2, verse 7, he's called righteous Lot. And so this is a very serious situation. It's just like Dell Evans in the story of Roy Rogers. She's more valuable, of course, than cattle being stolen. The Lone Ranger was worried about. But the point being, this is of a concern. Here's another concern. In James chapter 5, verse 19, James writes these words, "Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins." The Bible often pictures us as sheep, following, of course, the chief shepherd. And unfortunately, sheep don't always follow the shepherd. Sometimes they will wander away. And unfortunately, in the case of God's children, brethren are taken in by sin. And that sin can become a deadly trap. And that's why we read these words in James chapter 5, "If anyone among you wanders from the truth." What it's saying to us, it really is possible for a New Testament Christian to leave the truth. I really, truly wish I could believe the traditional doctrine of once saved, always saved. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't it be wonderful once a child of God is born again out of the watery grave that they no longer have to worry about where they'll spend eternity? No longer have to be concerned is probably a better word. And more importantly, we don't have to be concerned about them any longer. But we know there is a danger for anyone coming out of that watery grave. Because Satan does not give up. And folks can wander from the truth. And that word wander is interesting because it's a word that we actually get our word planet from. But what it means in the original language is that someone wanders, they go astray. In other words, they go off course. They deviate from the correct path. They roam or they wander into error. You take that sheep that wanders or strays from the flock, it's doing so just gently looking for, oh, here's greener grass. Here's greener grass. Oh, look here. What's over here? What's over here? It all looks good. And that's what can happen to a child of God. He can wander away from the fold. And how is that possible? Well, notice that a part of the word is to be misled or deceived or led astray. And that's what happens. They go astray. Matthew 18:12 talks about the sheep going astray. What happens? Does he not leave the 99 if one strays and go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying? What happens when that sheep strays away? That sheep puts himself in danger. And what causes it? Deception. Now obviously you've already smiled at the picture you see here on the screen. We got a sheep that has no clue where it's going. And sometimes that's exactly what happens. When a child of God starts straying away, he has no clue where he's going. He doesn't recognize the danger. Do you think this sheep can see the wolf? Not at all. The sheep is blind. And deception is that which causes us to be blind. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 13, Paul writes and he says, "But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, that from a child you've known those holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." What's the problem? None if we stay with the scriptures. But it's very easy to stray away and be deceived. And that puts us in great danger. In this picture, you kind of notice what that danger is. Those sheep have a problem. They're in danger. Matthew 7 records the words of Christ, where Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets." He's saying we need to be on guard. We need to be watchful of false prophets. And as difficult as it is for people to accept, there are false prophets to contend with. Therefore, we must understand and know the truth so we can understand the counterfeit and know the counterfeit. And Jesus says, "Beware, watch out for, who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." And then he says, "You're going to know them by their fruits." What are they producing? I believe it was one of our brothers here that said, if people do exactly what they did in the first century, they become exactly what they were in the first century. That is so true. If they do what the first century New Testament Christians did, they'll be New Testament Christians. And one of the dangers then and one of the dangers today is that of being deceived. Because Satan is using that, being the father of liars, to put the children of God in danger, the sheep. There are wolves, and we must beware of those false prophets. But it's interesting that in Proverbs 19, verse 27, we have this wisdom. "Cease listening to instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge." If Satan can redirect our mind another direction, then our mind is not going to be focused upon staying on the straight and narrow path. If Satan can be successful as the wolf among sheep, he will try to do all that he can to distract us, to take our attention away from this book, from the instruction that God gives us. And therefore, what happens? A child of the Almighty will wander from the truth. Number two, the enemies in Genesis 14 didn't just take Lot, they took his goods. And oftentimes we don't give that much consideration, but it is clear that that's significant. They did not just take him, they took his goods. They wanted the spoils. And what did they do? They departed. And once those goods depart, it's sometimes very difficult to get them back. Now think about this. When a brother or sister, I should say, leaves the fellowship, not only is he or her lost, but Satan has possession of his goods. Think about it. Lost sold, lost contribution, both in money and in talent in service of the Lord. It's not just the person that's missing. Just like with Lot, the goods are taken. And I think that's something to consider. Think about the one talent man in Matthew chapter 25. What happened there? When he didn't use that talent, he robbed his Lord of the fruits of that labor, of his effort. He didn't put forth any labor effort. He buried that talent in the ground. And what was he doing? He was robbing his master. what happens when a child of God ceases to be faithful? He takes his goods with him. No longer is he helping support the work. No longer is he using his talents to serve God. But here's the good news. What do we see happen in the case of Lot? The family comes to the rescue. Genesis 14:14. Now when Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his 318 trained servants who were born in his own house and went in pursuit as far as Dan. Fascinating, isn't it? Abraham did not round up some army somewhere else. He took servants of his own household. And not a significantly great number, but yet not a small number. 318 trained servants. Verse 15, he divided his forces against them by night. So we see some skill of war going on here. And he and his servants attacked them and pursued them as far as Hobah, which is north of Damascus. Abraham came to the rescue. The idea of that movie, and there's been many made like that, that you have someone who has a family member in danger, and what happens? They rally and they go to the rescue. Abraham does that. He goes at night. He goes and he attacks them and pursues them. And look at verse 16. So he brought back all the goods. Also brought back his brother Lot and his goods, as well as the women and the people. It wasn't just Lot that was in danger. Look here, it's others. So Abraham went to the rescue, and it made a significant difference because he was able to rescue Lot, he was able to rescue the goods, he was able to help out and rescue others. And here's the lesson tonight. The faithful family of God can turn the wonder back to the truth. James says, brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, and that can happen. We don't know when. It can happen. But then he goes on, someone turns him back. When we walk away from the Lord, it's great when somebody can help us make a U-turn and see the right ways of God, to put our nose back into this book and say, this is what God wants for me. And then in verse 20 he goes on, he says, and let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save a soul from death. As we pointed out during our friends and family event and in preparation for that, and we put a goal out there and we talked about numbers. We weren't just talking about numbers on the board to glory about. We talked about souls. And folks, because of your efforts, we had souls here who heard the gospel. And we had some, I fear, who have wandered from the truth that were here to hear the gospel. And who had the influence? The family. Us. God's people. Together. Working together. What were we working to do? To turn a sinner from the error of his ways. And what's it about? It's about saving a soul from death. But there's another interesting fact that James mentions in James chapter 5. In verse 20, he says, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save a soul from death. And then there's an and. Do you see that? He didn't stop there. There's no period there. He will save a soul from death. And that itself is wonderful, isn't it? You can't get any more excited than about that. But he has an and there. And look at this. And cover a multitude of sins. What in the world does that mean? Well, I'm going to use this as the illustration tonight to help us understand. If we've wondered about what does that mean? Some of you are probably thinking, I got one of those junk piles on my place. I used to look like my kid's bedroom. You see, that doesn't look too pretty, does it? I don't even think those guys who went around and tried to buy all that old stuff, you see on TV would want much of this. It's pretty bad. Might be able to sell some of it to a scrap metal dealer. But it's just not very pretty. And that's the way sin is in someone's life, isn't it? It's just not very pretty. In fact, it's pretty ugly. That's a multitude of sins. But look at the difference. 1 Peter 4, verse 8. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. In order for someone to have a scene that looks like this, there's a lot of work. There's a lot of love that goes into that, isn't there? It's very unlikely this was all just natural. In fact, we might call this a landfill. And if somebody works hard enough, they can landfill that in and end up with something like this. And what are they doing? They're covering a multitude of sins. You read oftentimes about landfills across various parts of the country where they've worked those out and built beautiful parks and so forth on landfills. What have they done? They've covered it over and they've made it beautiful. And that's what Scripture is telling us, that there is a multitude of sins that is involved when someone wanders away from the truth. But that not only saves a soul, but there's a covering that happens. A covering of a multitude of sins. It changes a lot of things in a person's life. And love will cover that multitude of sins. What will happen? Number one, the lost soul is returned to the Father. Number two, his goods come back to benefit the work of the church. His talents are involved in that as well. That which was missing and not productive, not useful, is now useful because this person has returned to the Lord who gave himself for that person. And then number three, the family is put on a new direction. And think about it. The family's put on a new direction as well as other people who know the restored. You see, when a person returns to the Lord, not only is that soul saved, but there's a covering for a multitude of sins. That person who once was not a powerful influence is now a powerful influence. That person who was once walking in their own ways is now walking in God's ways and setting an example. And like David, as we read about and studied in the Wednesday night class, he ended up being a teacher after he returned faithfully to the Lord. He shared with others. He made a difference in people's lives. Oh, we can't forget sin, can we? God does, thankfully. It's still there. There's consequences of sin and so forth. But yet, Scripture tells us that there's a covering. In other words, landfill can be covered over. That which is ugly is changed into something beautiful. And that is the beautiful part. When Lot was rescued, it wasn't just him. It was his goods and others. And that's what happens when a child of God who wanders away from the truth is brought back to the fold. His life is now different for others. There's one other thing, and I'll close tonight. When you look at Genesis 14, it's interesting that the rescuer is blessed. Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High. And what did he do, verse 19? He blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abraham of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And he blessed, and blessed be God the Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." Folks, when you play a role in helping somebody else who's wandered from the truth, return to the fold, not only are they greatly blessed, not only is the church as a whole blessed, but the rescuer. There is a great joy, not only when someone is baptized and comes out of that watery grave, but a joy when you help somebody else return to God. Abraham was blessed, and certainly we are blessed. The fruit of righteousness is a tree of life, Proverbs 11:30, and he who wins souls is wise. Daniel 12:3 says this, "Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. And isn't it amazing? It might only be a letter, a phone call, a word of encouragement, exhortation, or just that little bit of determined effort that can help the one who wonders. But the blessings are without putting a price on. There's no price because of what happens. A soul is saved and a multitude of sins are covered. Have you been taken? We're not talking about a car deal or buying a tractor or even a golf club. We're talking about spiritually. Have you wandered from the truth and into sin? If so, tonight, why not be determined to come back? Come back and enjoy the benefit of salvation and the security of knowing that you're walking hand in hand with the Lord. If you're here tonight and you've not yet been baptized, and you know you need to, you know you're guilty of sin, and you know you need to make an action to change your life, take action, then why not? As we stand and sing, would you please come?